Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Thank you, Father, because you are indeed our solid rock. And no matter when we need you, you are always there. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And Lord, this morning, we once again pray for your presence as we open your word. Give us understanding and the courage to follow through in Jesus' name. Amen. You have study guides in your inside your bulletins. I welcome you, ask you to take those out. Of course, you'll look at the screen and you'll find the words in the blanks that will be underlined or highlighted. Last Sabbath, started a series, a three-part series that I've titled The Sabbath Challenge. What's the name of the series?
It's the Sabbath Challenge.
And we talked about last Sabbath, the title of the message last Sabbath was Made for You. And we talked about the reality that many of us, maybe unconsciously, we've made the Sabbath a days of do's and don'ts. And we talked about the fact that the Sabbath, obviously, made for you. Mark 2:27, Jesus made the Sabbath for our benefit because he wants us to enjoy the Sabbath. He wants it to be a blessing because Jesus, because the creator of heaven and earth, wants to have a relationship with you. Oh, man. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He set a day aside to ensure that. But I left you with a cliffhanger last Sabbath, and I mentioned the fact that we don't see the Sabbath as we should at times because we're lacking something. We're lacking something. And so I left you with that cliffhanger. Today we're going to see what is it that we're lacking. And I want to start with a story that I think one, if you pay attention to the story, you're going to figure out what is it indeed that we are lacking. So the traveler quickened his steps. And eager anticipation. A healthy glow radiated from his rugged face. He walked with an easy, natural stride. It had been a long, tiring week, but soon he would be with his friends again. The thought blocked the fatigue, the disappointments, and the frustrations of the week, and buoyed his spirits as he walked. Pretty soon he noticed that the houses ahead, clustered together as if for warmth, seemed strangely silent and inactive. In the first, not one light shone, and no cars were parked in the driveway. Pushing aside a rising feeling of disquiet, the traveler pressed on to the next house. Two kids played ball in the front yard and the front lawn and did not even notice him as he made his way up the front walk and knocked on the door. A woman answered, her hands covered with flour. "You're early," she snapped, and then glanced past him toward the darkening sky as she flickered tiny balls of sticky dough from her fingers. "No, I guess I'm late," she sighed. "You think I'd learn eventually, wouldn't you?" "Look, I'm sorry, but I won't finish cooking for at least half an hour, and the boys haven't had their baths yet, and the house is a mess." Her voice trailed off. "It's been such a week. You understand, don't you? Could you come back a little later?" The traveler nodded sadly, and he gave his friend's shoulder a gentle squeeze before he pressed on to the next house. The loud glare of the television greeted him through the open window, and it was a long time before he was even noticed. A man answered, still in the clothes he had worn from the office, his tie loosened around his neck. He seemed surprised to find someone on his doorstep. "Oh, hey there. It must be later than I thought. The game's almost over. It's run into overtime, and I just have to see who wins. It shouldn't be long now. A few more minutes. Would you like to come in and..." "No, I don't suppose you would." "Well, like I said, it's only be a matter of a few minutes. You can come back later, won't you?" The traveler nodded his assent, but his shoulders drooped and tears of loneliness collected in his frank blue eyes. Yes, I'll come back. Feet dragging, he made his way to the next house. And hope revived when he saw that nearly every light in the house was on and extra cars were in the driveway. At last, friends who were expecting him, he nearly bounded up the front steps. A man answered his knock. And when he saw who stood on the step, his face was flushed with embarrassment. Oh, hi, we've got company. They're not your type, though. But you're welcome to come in, he added. And then he dropped his eyes to the ground. But you probably wouldn't be comfortable with the way the conversation is going. In fact, I am not, but what am I going to do? Am I going to kick him out? And he dropped his voice and he stepped out of the house. He closed the door behind him. He got close to the traveler and he said, could you come back after they've left? There's something I need to talk to you about. The traveler nodded. His heart was heavy. As he turned away, he heard a woman's voice from inside call, who's there, honey? Nobody, was the reply before the door closed and sounds of laughter were muted. Only one house remained, and the traveler approached it with a mix of fear and anticipation. Loneliness throbbed deeply within his chest as he longed to spend time with the people he loved. And he gently knocked at the door, waiting breathlessly before it opened. There you are, the woman exclaimed. We thought you'd never get here. Oh, I know you're always on time, but we're always so anxious to see you. Come on in. Dinner will get cold if we stand here yammering. Sit here down, right here at the head of the table. Jeff, you sit over there. I'll sit here. Ellen, you sit next to your father. Nathan, you sit next to me. And she looked up expectantly. And she said, would you have the blessing? The traveler let his eyes caress each loving face seated around the table. In the glow of the special candles, they seemed to him like precious jewels. This time with them was the most special communion of the week. He would savor every moment. And with a tender smile, he bowed his head and began to pray, Heavenly Father, my Father. Have you ever planned a celebration? How many of you have ever planned a celebration? You know, days, weeks, sometimes even months in advance, you are planning, and because of your careful and meticulous planning, the event is a total success. Now, I want you to think about last Sabbath. I want you to think about last Sabbath. You know, at Seventh-day Adventists, we are very meticulous about defending the seventh day as the Sabbath. And as well, we should. It's part of the present truth. We can provide a good argument about the day of which day the Sabbath is and why it's important to keep it. But could it be that at times, and dare I say every week, the traveler in the story, which symbolizes Jesus and the Sabbath, the traveler in the story is disappointed because you are not prepared. Let's open our Bibles. Our scripture reading again found in Isaiah 56, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 56 in verse 2, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Isaiah 56 verse 2. The Bible says, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Now, the Hebrew word for this word blessed is the word esher. Esher, it's a word that conveys a state of happiness or blessedness. And it is often used as describes a condition of those who are in a right relationship with God, experiencing His favor, experiencing His guidance. This term is not merely about external circumstances, but it reflects an inner joy and contentment that comes from living according to God's will. And so I want you to notice, friends, that the Sabbath then is a day of joy, is a day of happiness, is a day of blessedness. Or at least it should be. If we're honest with ourselves, this blessing has somewhat lost its meaning, even for many Seventh-day Adventists. For many individuals, the Sabbath has become more of a requirement than a blessing. It's seen as an inconvenient pause in the lives of people. And you know the story. Maybe this is true to you. On Sabbath evening, when sunset is hitting, what are you doing? Checking the clock. See what time sunset is, right? On Sabbath evening, people are often eager to resume their activities. They are not looking forward to it. Because the Sabbath is seen as a period of inactivity rather than a celebration. And the enthusiasm of the Sabbath has diminished, seems diminished compared to what it was originally intended to be. And so I said that the Sabbath is a celebration. And many of you are probably thinking, oh boy, here you go, another thing we got to do on Sabbath now. But I want you to consider this, because if you've planned a celebration, you often don't see the celebration as a chore, do you? No. You're celebrating. You're happy. It could be a birthday party. It could be a wedding. See, it's about the attitude rather than the activity. You can get married anywhere, right? You can get married with or without decorations, among friends or just witnesses. But it's the spirit of joy, love, and happiness that makes the event a celebration. And friends, it is a celebration. The Sabbath is a celebration. It's a celebration of the special time together with God that recharges us and fills us with energy so we can meet the demands of the next week. And so the question then is, why aren't we celebrating? Why aren't we celebrating? Have you ever been an unexpected guest somewhere? You show up and they weren't expecting you. And the host is alternating plans to accommodate you. And when that happens, don't you feel kind of embarrassed? Yeah. Maybe you thought you should have politely declined or taken a rain check. What if there's not enough food? I mean, after all, they weren't expecting you. They weren't planning on you. And so you feel uncomfortable and maybe even guilty for causing all the extra work. But now, what if you are the host and Jesus is the unexpected guest? How do you think it makes him feel when he arrives every Friday evening to find us as an otherwise occupied character of the story that I just mentioned? I mean, it isn't like he brings the Sabbath unexpectedly to us. We know when it comes. It comes every week, and we know exactly what time it starts. We have no excuse for forgetting it. We have no excuse for not being prepared. And so when I left you hanging last Sabbath, and I said the reason we're not seeing the Sabbath as a day of joyous celebration is because we're lacking something. And friends, one of the biggest factors for not seeing the Sabbath as a celebration is our lack of preparation. Preparation is key. It's key. Now, I don't want to seem dogmatic about this or legalistic about what this preparation looks like, but let's not forget that in the Bible, Friday is called what? Preparation day, the day of preparation. Right? People prepare. Now, in an article titled "Preparing for Shabbat, Getting Ready for the Arrival of the Sabbath Queen," authors Ari Goldman and Blue Greenberg make this statement. Notice, getting ready for the arrival of, one prepares for the Sabbath when? All week. In Hebrew, the days of the week do not have names. They are all a launch pad for Shabbat. Sunday's the first day, Monday's the second day, and so on, until Friday, which is both the sixth day and the eve of Shabbat. And of course, again, the day of preparation, as we said. In anticipation of the Friday night meal, observant Jews tend to eat lighter meals during the daytime on Friday. There is also much to do. In fact, the more observant you are of the details of Shabbat, the more you have to prepare before it arrives. Have any of you ever been to Israel? Anybody been to Israel? Just a few here. I have never been there, and I hope that someday the events of the world calm down. Maybe we can, I can go and visit. But I have been told by those who have gone to Israel and have been there on Friday that at noon, everything changes in Israel. Every business closes. It's like going, you're in a ghost town. Why? Because they leave home, go home early enough so that they can prepare for the Sabbath. Because it's about preparation. And the Bible talks about this very thing, the fact that it is a day of preparation. For example, you know the story of God, when God gave the manna to the children of Israel. And he gave them specific instructions. Every day you come out in the morning, gather what you need for that day. Don't gather any more, because whatever is left over is going to go bad. And so that's exactly what happened. But he gave them instructions for the sixth day, for the day of preparation. Well, we know it's Friday. What were they to do? They were collect twice, right? They were collect twice because on Sabbath, no manna would fall. We read in Exodus 16:23, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning. Why? Because they prepared. They worked on Friday. They cooked what they needed for Friday, what they needed for Sabbath. So when Sabbath came, everything was done. They prepared for it. When Jesus dies on the cross, he dies on Friday. We know the story. Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate, asks for the body, and they place the body in the tomb. And the women were there, and they were preparing to anoint the body of Jesus. But the Bible says that it was almost Sabbath. We read in Luke chapter 23, verse 54, the day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And it was almost Sabbath, and the rest of the narrative says that they went home and prepared spices, and they kept the Sabbath according to the law. Right? They prepared. It was a day of preparation. So the Sabbath is, or at least it should be, a day of celebration, a day of joy. But you ask, well, what are we celebrating? Well, there's a number of things that we're going to look at today that we're celebrating when we keep the Sabbath. And so, in other words, the first one there on the screen, when we remember the Sabbath, we are celebrating creation. We are celebrating creation. Friends, you are somebody special. You are somebody important, because God does not create garbage. This is something I remember reading as a child in a doctor's office. For some reason, I always remember that little kid with a grumpy face. I don't know why he was grumpy in the picture, but it says right there, I know I'm somebody special because God does not create garbage. We celebrate the fact that God made us. I am no accident. I'm not the result of some explosion. I'm not the result of evolving from a lesser being into what I am today. I am here because God made me. And everything around us, God created. We celebrate creation. We see it there. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so when we keep the Sabbath, when we celebrate, when we see the Sabbath as a day of joy and celebration, we are thinking about creation. We're celebrating that God made us. And after all, that's why we worship Him. That's why we serve Him, because He is our Creator. What else do we celebrate when we keep the Sabbath? Well, we celebrate redemption. Redemption. We have been redeemed. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 and 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, this passage in particular, some of the Sabbath critics point to this passage and say, see, this tells us that the Sabbath was just for the Jews, because the Jews were the ones who were set free from Egypt. And that is true, they were set free from Egypt. But friends, I have been set free, and so have you. Because this liberation from Egypt is just a microcosm, if you will, the type versus anti-type of the liberation that God accomplished on our behalf through Jesus Christ. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. We have been redeemed. God has purchased us with the blood of Jesus. And when we keep the Sabbath, this is a celebration. The Sabbath is a celebration that you and I have been redeemed by Jesus. That is worth celebrating, friends. That is worth celebrating. The Sabbath is also a celebration of our sanctification. The work of transformation that God does in us. You know, we know that we are justified by faith, and the moment you accept Jesus as your Savior, it is in that moment that you're justified. But we know that sanctification is a lifelong process, and it's a work that God does in you. This is not something you do. It is a work that He does if you allow Him. If you allow Him. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20. Hallow my Sabbath, and there'll be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God. It is a sign of our sanctification. We are being sanctified. We are in this process of transformation. And the Sabbath is a celebration of the fact of what God's doing in your life. Amen. That He is the one who's changing you and transforming you. The Sabbath is also a sign or a celebration of our trust in Him. It's a way we show our trust in God as our provider and our sustainer. This is demonstrated by ceasing to work for 24 hours. We stop doing the things that we always do to earn a living. We rest from our labors, trusting that God will take care of our needs, whether we work or not. You know, for many businesses, Saturday is the busiest day. Especially if you're in retail, right? So that's where you make most of your money. That's where, and people sometimes often rationalize, well, I can't take Saturday off because that's when I make most of my money during the week. But when we say, I'm going to keep the Sabbath as a memorial of creation, redemption, sanctification, because God says so in His Word, I'm going to trust that even if I don't do anything, God's going to take care of it. So when I first learned about the Sabbath, I may have told you this story before, but when I first learned about the Sabbath, I was in college, and I am very OCD about my studies. And Saturday was the day that I studied the most. I got from 8 in the morning probably till like 5 in the afternoon. I studied every subject because that's the only way that I knew that I was going to have good grades. And I studied, and every class, I spent all those hours studying. When I learned about the Sabbath, I said to myself, well, I know I got to keep the Sabbath, but I guess I'm not going to do that good in school because I'm not going to be studying as much as I need to. But I decided to trust God anyway, and I didn't study on Sabbath. And that semester, which was the last semester before I joined the Navy, that's when I had the best grades of the whole year. Of the whole semester, because God took care of it. We need to trust God. And so by celebrating the Sabbath, we show our trust in Him. He's going to take care of it. Whatever you need, He's going to come through. And the Sabbath reminds us of that. And so notice again, Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore know the Lord your God. He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And so celebrating the Sabbath is to show our trust in God and to acknowledge the wonderful world He made for us. Amen. We have a faith in Him as our Creator, as our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Yeah. But now what about preparation? We talk about preparation for the Sabbath. Well, again, preparation is typically done on what day? Right, it's called the day of preparation, right? We organize everything so that people in our household can celebrate and enjoy the Sabbath without any distractions or stresses. And we wish that here in our country, in our society, everything could close on Friday at noon and we could leave and go home and prepare for the Sabbath and have plenty of time to do that. But that's not the reality, is it? And so for many, Friday preparation can be kind of tricky.
That's right.
Yeah. Especially if you, if your house is, you know, your mom, husband and wife live, work outside the house, and if you live in the suburbs and you work in Nashville and you leave on Friday afternoon with traffic and everything, by the time you get home, it's either close to the sunset or past sunset, especially in the winter when, you know, sunset is around 4:30. It could be kind of tricky to prepare for Friday. So what do we do? Well, the article that I quoted earlier says that Sabbath preparation happens all week, right? All week. See, if we're looking forward to, in this case, the Sabbath, when sunset hits here tonight, at whatever, 8 o'clock, when sunset hits, we are already looking forward to the next Sabbath. And because we're looking forward to the next day of joy and celebration, we start preparing right then and there. Now, you're going to be excused this today because I know all of you are going to be here for Forecasting Hope. So when the Sabbath hits, you're going to be here. That's fine. You're going to prepare tomorrow. Start preparing tomorrow morning. That's okay. But the point is, you start preparing ahead of time. Listen, you know what you need to do during the week. If the house needs to be cleaned, so you clean it. You know, you got 6 days of the week to take care of it. You come home from work, you clean. Okay, I'm going to clean on Mondays. And there's shopping to be done. Most people do the shopping on Thursdays. And if the laundry has to be done, well, you do it on Wednesdays and so on. The point is, you're doing something every day of the week so that when Friday hits, especially if you know you're going to get home late, you don't have to stress about it anymore. I remember hearing about some of the brethren in the church. This was when I was in Philly, although I'm sure it happens here. We're in the supermarket at sunset on Friday, buying the final things and everything. When you have 6 days of the week to do it, see that's our challenge. We are not preparing ahead of time. Now, I want to share with you to prepare for this series. I read a number of books on this issue of the Sabbath, of what the Sabbath truly means, etc. And there are two books that I want to share with you that may help you if you struggle with preparation and what preparation looks like. And so they're both on the screen there. On the left, the title of it is Making Sabbath Special by Celeste Perina Walker. In fact, this book, we have a copy of it in our library, so you can check it out. You can be the first one to check it out today. Yeah. As a matter of fact, kudos to Ethel and L. Williams, because Ethel and L. Williams, this was a couple of years ago, she was the one who pointed this book out to me. And she had a burden for us seeing the Sabbath, the day of joy and celebration that it ought to be. And she said, Pastor, I think you need to read this book. And I did read it. I gave it back and I bought my own copy. Because it provides, it's just really, really good book on this issue that sometimes we see the Sabbath as more of a requirement than a joy and a celebration, and it changes our perspective in what the day should be. Because again, we can provide the best argument possible to why we should keep the Sabbath day, but if we're not experiencing the joy that it is, we're not communicating that. It's just another commandment. But if we show how important and how great it is, oh, people want that. I want some of that, right? The other one you notice is, oh no, it's Sabbath again, by Yara Serna Young. And you see the image of a housewife there. She's doing all kinds of things there. And if you are a stay-at-home mom, you know what that's like. And now you can read it. I mean, you don't have to be a housewife to read it, because this book provides you with ideas of what this preparation day by day during the week looks like. Right? What can you do this day? What can you do that day? And it even provides recipes for light meals that you can prepare ahead of time. So when the Sabbath gets there, you're prepared. And so these are good books. You'll find them in Nourish, and you can buy them, or you can buy them on Amazon. I think that will provide you a good foundation resources for you to know what preparation looks like. Yeah. Now, Luke chapter 4. We read about Jesus going to the synagogue. And we often quote verse 16 to show that Jesus' custom was to keep the Sabbath, to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Verse 16, this is Luke 4:16. The Bible says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And of course, what did Jesus read? He read a prophecy about himself. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And so, of course, we see here in Luke, again, what does keeping the Sabbath holy look like? Well, obviously, part of keeping the Sabbath holy is worshiping in the context of the church, right? You come and worship God with your church family, okay? There are times when you may say, "Well, I'm tired, I'm not going to go to church today." And I suppose that if that happens once in a while, that okay. But, you know, it's easy for that to become a custom and a habit. When you do it once, it's easier to do it again. And again, I mentioned last Sabbath, many well-meaning parents sometimes to support their kids start taking their children to the school activities that are often on Sabbath. And guess what? It becomes a habit. And before you know it, they're not no longer in the church. Now, again, keep in mind that worshiping in the church is only part of what the Sabbath is about. Just because you came to church on Sabbath, "Well, I went to church on Sabbath, so I must have kept the whole day Sabbath holy." No, that's just part of what we do. Remember, it's 24 hours a day. And aren't you glad that God doesn't say, "You know what, I want to spend time with you on the Sabbath, so I'm going to write you down for 2 hours here in the morning from 9 to 12. Yeah, that's when I'm going to be with you." No, he sets the whole day because he wants to spend time with you. But notice there, part of the ministry of Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty of the captives, open the prison to those who are bound. Jesus made it a point to act against the prevailing traditions of the elders. Remember last Sabbath, I talked about the 39 categories of labor that was prohibited on the Sabbath and the thousands of sub-rules that they had created. And so Jesus made it a point to act against these prevailing traditions. Now, if you look at the Gospels, most of the miracles of healing that Jesus did, he did them on Sabbath. And he did it intentionally. He did it deliberately, not to defy or the real obligations of the Sabbath commandment, but in order to restore the day to what God intended it to be. Because remember, the Sabbath, again, the Jews had filled it with all sorts of burdens. It became a burden. It became a days of do's and don'ts. And Jesus says, "No, I have to restore the Sabbath." Remember, in Scripture, the issue is never which day is the Sabbath. Everybody knew it's the seventh day. The issue is how to keep it holy. And Jesus came to restore the Sabbath to what he intended it to be a day of blessing. And so by offering them physical and spiritual liberation, Jesus made the Sabbath a time to celebrate and experience the blessing of his redemptive ministry. Imagine what this would have done for you if you were dying of cancer. Here comes Jesus on the Sabbath and heals you. You're never going to forget that day. It's supposed to be a day of celebration. And his message to us then and now is that he is the creator. He is our redeemer. He is our sustainer, the one who always walks with us. His message is that we are saved, that we are free people, friends, and this is worth celebrating. What do you say? Amen. Yes. Now imagine, as the golden hues of Friday sunset approaches, imagine a household bustling with gentle purpose. The aroma of freshly baked bread wafts through the air, mingling with a subtle fragrance of polished wood and clean linens. Children are tidying up their playthings while adults are finishing their task and with smiles of anticipation. Each action, no matter how small, is imbued with intention, a gesture of preparing hearts and homes for the sacred hours ahead. A family moves through their preparations like musicians in harmony. Someone sets the table, arranging it with simple beauty. Candles, a loaf of challah, a vase of flowers. Another ensures that meals for the Sabbath are ready, light, yet satisfying. Embodying the thoughtfulness of preparation day, the clock ticks closer to the moment when all work ceases. But instead of stress, there is joy in the air. And when the moment arrives, the candles are lit, the flickering flames of a symbol of peace and sanctity. Prayers are spoken, voices soft and reverent. The Sabbath has come, a time of rest to connect with loved ones, to celebrate the Creator's gift of redemption, creation, and sanctification. Through planning and care, the family has created space to fully embrace the Sabbath, free from distractions, worries, and hurried tasks. And their preparation transforms the day into a celebration of trust, faith, and gratitude, a rhythm of life that renews them each week. Now, wouldn't you like the Sabbath to be like that in your home? And you say, maybe it is. And if it is, praise God. But if it isn't, why isn't? It's what you need to ask yourself. Why isn't it? And could it be is because, like many of us, we have not been preparing. The day of joy and celebration. If you want it to be that way, prepare. Prepare to celebrate. Now, some of you are still asking, okay, Pastor, but you still didn't address the do's and don'ts of the Sabbath. I understand you're thinking about that, and we're going to talk about that next Sabbath. But for now, we're setting the foundation. This is more than a requirement. It is a gift that God gives us, a day of joy and celebration. Amen?
Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.